It is Father's Day, so. Father, we just thank you this morning that we have the privilege to call you Father. Not everybody in the world can call you Father. Not everybody in the world can say Jesus is Lord and really mean it except through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we thank you. Because again, you chose us. You chose us before the foundation of the world. We don't understand it, can't grasp it in our minds. We just got to believe it. You've been telling us over and over again that we can be confident of this very thing. You that begun a good work in us, you're going to perform it. You're going to complete it. Father, you're going to complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And couple that with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think it's 23. Faithful as he who has called you, maybe 24, faithful as he has called you, also will do it. So our hope and our trust and our faith is in you, God. Now open up our minds, our hearts, to understand what you're saying to us, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Turn with me to Exodus 33. And we're going to start verse 16. And of course we know where this is. Moses is talking to God. This is after he had come down from the mountain and threw the tablets down because they were worshiping some calf. They had gone astray right away after getting out of Egypt. 16, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. So right here in the beginning, this is, you know, Moses speaking, but it's actually, you know, it's the Spirit of God speaking through him. Wherein shall be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Isn't it funny that by grace that we're saved through faith, right? By grace in thy sight, is it not that thou goest with us? Is it not that thou go with us? It's God in us. So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, I beseech thee. Moses says, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. I think it's in Romans, Paul wrote, and whom he will, he hardeneth. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of a rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. We have a good, good Father. He didn't have to do this. Come on. These are rebellious people. They should have been. He was ready to judge them, and Moses stood in the gap. And now he has to see God's glory. And God's, okay, you can't look at me, but I'll let you see my hinder parts. So 34, and the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee out two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which you broke. So evidently God made him make the tables this time. God made the tables the first time. Be ready in the morning, come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor the herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up the early in the morning, and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head and worshipped, head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked and people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And of course, God granted that. And he didn't have to do it. But see, he is a God that's full of compassion. He's merciful, he's gracious, he's long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. But he is also a judge in the sense that iniquity will be judged. I mean, sin cannot dwell with him. But see, if when we ask God to forgive us, he's ready to forgive us. He made a way where he could love us. He made the way, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Jesus might have everlasting life. So God, who is merciful and gracious and long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, made a way that he could do it and be just. Somebody had to pay the price. Jesus paid the price. The Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Now go with me to 2 Chronicles 15. I want to give an example of two people here. 2 Chronicles 15, starting at verse 17. Now this is talking about Asa. And Asa started out really good. He started running, man. When he started out, he started running. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days, and he brought unto the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Then we go to chapter 16, and we start at verse 7. And at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Assyria escaped out of thy hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host, with very many horsemen, or chariots and horsemen? Yet because you did rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Now up until this time, well, in the beginning he was really running for God. He was really on track. And there's a lot of people who start out that way. I mean, Saul started out that way. David started out that way. You keep going down the line. I started going through everybody. I thought, trying to think, and I don't know everything, but I was just thinking, everybody messed up. Everybody. But the difference is, well, this isn't a good difference. And Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Solomon did the same thing. He oppressed the people at the same time when he started to go away from God. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, and lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. God, because of his mercy, because of his grace, just like he did with David, he sent a prophet. And he told Asa, you messed up here. And from henceforth, you're going to have wars. What Asa should have done, and what we know by other experiences with people, if he had humbled himself and admitted it, God would have had mercy on him. Amen? I mean, David did a lot worse than that. Had adultery with his neighbor, killed her husband, tried to hide it, wasn't looking to repent. 9 months later, God has to send a prophet to him. He's not ready. He's not ready. Except God sends a prophet to him. He's going to where? Hell. But God, in his love, sends a prophet to him. And then God, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, forgave him. Just like that. Nathan says, yeah, God's forgiven you. But you're going to have trouble because of what you've done. This is what's going to happen. But Asa doesn't repent. He gets mad at the seer. The loving father sends the prophet not to condemn him, but to get him to convict him, to, so he could see where he's done wrong and just humble himself and receive it and say, I messed up. We're going to look at another life. That's all he had to do, and he did the wrong thing. And so the last part of God's description of himself is not look over iniquity. And he died. He died because he didn't repent. He didn't repent. Okay, let's go to 2 Chronicles 33. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But he 55 years. But he died. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broke down, and he reared up the altars for Balaam. He made groves, and he worshipped the host of heaven, and he served them. He built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be there. And he built altars for the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. In God's house. He caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also, he observed times and enchantments. He used witchcraft. He dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of the Lord God, of which God had said to David and Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more be removed the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed their fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I've commanded them, according to the whole law, the statutes, and the ordinance by the hand of Moses. And Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Again, God in his love sends somebody to say, hey, you're going the wrong direction. You're going the wrong way. Repent. And he doesn't listen. He doesn't listen. Now, when it says God's abundant in mercy and he's long-suffering, he is. Because this dude, in my eyes, did a lot more than Asa did in being evil. Wherefore the Lord, 11, brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, bound him with the fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord God, the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. As David wrote, it was good that I was afflicted, because it caused him to repent. Well, here he repents. He humbles himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And he prayed unto him He prayed unto God of his fathers, the God of Hezekiah, his father, David, his father. And he heard his supplication. God listened to him. And he brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Your father is a merciful God. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, he's merciful. If you don't know it yourself, I'm seeing it more and more that he's long-suffering with me. But he sure was long-suffering with him. This dude really did some bad things. He defiled the temple of God. Paul said, who defiles the temple, God will destroy. Amen? But God, in his mercy, he didn't have to do it. God didn't have to do it. Manasseh did enough for him to write him off. Now, I don't know how God did this, but God's able to do anything. This king is taken captive back to Babylon, and they bring him back. I mean, they let him come back and be king again. I mean, that's pretty near impossible. Now, after this, he built the wall without the city of David, the west side of Gion and the valley, even to the entering in of the fish gate, encompassed about Ophrah, and raised it up a very great height. He put captains of war in the fenced cities of Judah. He took away the strange gods, the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem. He cast them out of the city. He repaired the altar of the Lord, sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto his God and the words of the seers that spake to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. His prayer also, and how God was entreated of him, and all his sin and his trespass, and the places wherein he built the high places, and set up the groves and graven images before he was humbled, behold, they are written among the sayings of the seers. Manasseh repented, and God forgave him. Not only did he forgive him, but he restored him. He brought him back in. And then the works followed. The works followed, and Manasseh did the things that he did. He started to undo. He took them out of the temple, and he worshiped God in the temple. He sought God, and God forgave him. So you're going to see Manasseh in heaven. I don't know about Asa, but I know Manasseh you're going to see in heaven. God is merciful. He's kind. Amen? Now, this is just a couple, because I started to go through the kings, and every one of them, and started like towards the end of their reign. Uzzah was a very good 50-some years he reigned in Jerusalem. He was 51 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of God. Didn't have anything going on wrong. Didn't say anything about him. But when he got older, he started to feel like, hey, I can be a priest. And he goes into the temple, and they try to stop him, but he said, no, I'm doing this. And he gets leprosy. And he runs out of the temple. I mean, you could go on and on. David, after he was established as king, after there was nobody running and chasing him, after he was established as king, then he sins with Bathsheba. Then he does this stuff. Jehoshaphat, I mean, the huge host came against him. He cried out to God. He gets older, though, and he makes affinity with Ahab, and they go to war together. And God says, what are you doing helping the ungodly? What are you doing that? You shouldn't do it. And then the King Ahab is so, I'm not going to put on my robes. I'm not going to put, but you can put your robes on. Made himself a mark. But God was so merciful to Jehoshaphat. But he didn't learn his lesson, because when Ahab's son was, I think it was the children of Edom, rebelled, and then Jehoshaphat said, yeah, I'll go with you. And then they're in the desert, and Elijah had to tell him, you know, what to do. You serve a good, good father. You have a good, good father. Amen? And just like Hezekiah said when he sinned, after it, when he was sitting in sickness, when I cried out to God, he was ready to save me. He is ready to deliver me. He is ready to forgive me. He is ready to restore me. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. Amen? Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And when he came, he said, I come to show you what the Father's like. This is what the Father's like. Okay, now we're going to go to the New Testament. I've seen some things that I didn't see before. They just kind of jumped out at me. Because these are things that God's been talking to us about. But let's go to Colossians chapter 1. This is a prayer. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 15. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So that, in fact, some translations have that so in there. I found that out. Thank you, Lord. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasings, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made, or he caused us to be partakers. He made us
qualified.
We were able to partake. We were able to have it. He made us, he vouchsafed us, he worthy. You could use the word worthy. He made us worthy has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath, or you could say, who hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. This is in Jesus Christ. We have the redemption through his blood. But it's God who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. It's God, you know, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, worthy enough, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his Son. We'll see this in another scripture. In whom we have the redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image, likeness of the visible Father, the firstborn of every creature. So, okay, then we go to Hebrews chapter 13, another prayer. It's funny how you read something over and over again, and you don't even see it till God opens your eyes. Hebrews 13, 20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Now Paul, or they say Paul, anyway, the guy that wrote this, he said, you know, he wrote this because he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write it. Amen? So is he praying according to the will of God? Is he? Yes. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. But how does he do it? He does it through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So it is God, the Father, who's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. So God is for you and not, what? Against you. Amen? So even when I mess up, he's not against me, he's for me. And he's going to bring things in my life, just like prophets, to get me back into line with him because he loves me. Amen? Amen? Whom he loves, whoever the... he chastens. You and I need chastening from time to time. Amen? He's a good, good Father. Now, Satan and the world system doesn't want you to believe First of all, don't want you to believe in God, but if you believe in God, they want you to believe in a God who only is interested in punishing people. Only interested in, you know, acts of God, who's destroying things and doing bad things. Well, God can do some things. I'm not saying he can't. But that's not where his heart is. His heart is to save. God so loved the world, that's why he gave Jesus Christ. Amen? He wasn't trying to fulfill any law, any rules, anybody. Nobody could make him do it. He did it voluntarily. He did it willingly. Wow. That's the kind of God you got. That's the kind of Father you got. He's willing to sacrifice the greatest thing that he had. His son, just like Abraham. It's an example of that. And Abraham couldn't do that himself. I don't believe it. Only God could cause that man to do it. He intercedes for Sodom and Gomorrah because Lot's down there, and Lot's just a nephew. Amen? And Lot's done a lot wrong. Amen? And so you could surmise. Now put yourself in Abraham. You know, he's down there. I told him not to go down. He shouldn't be living in that place. Right? Go live out in a tent somewhere. Don't go in that city because it's full of sin. It's evil. Abraham's just compared to that. But Abraham pleads with Jesus. You know, after 15. How about there's 10? There's 10. I won't destroy it for 10. Mercies of God. There wasn't even 10 people there. But for Isaac, the seed of promise, he doesn't put up a fight. He doesn't say anything. He just goes and does it. That's God working in him, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen? Now look, I just something important here. Because if God could do that, with a man who waited all those years for that one seed of promise. I mean, God gave him the promise, and multiplying on a multiply you, blessing on a bless you, your seed is going to be like the sand on the seashore. And then he just, you know, he gets one child, and it's a man, and wow, this is the seed of promise. God says, this is the seed. And then it's like, I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son. You know what the flesh says? No way. You know, no way, right? It sort of goes along with this verse. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. So it's God working in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we just read in Hebrews, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. How? Through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Strengthen. Well, we're going to go there. Strengthen with might by his spirit in your inner man. Yes. Philippians 1:6. Let's go over there. This is another one we quote a lot. Now, you could be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God the Father, he's going to perform it in you unto the day of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3. If you follow these scriptures, you'll understand that I go backwards. It must be Misaka's effect on me. I don't know. I didn't go from 1 to 3, but we're going from Hebrews, we're going this way. Okay. Ephesians 3:14. They read backwards, okay. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, that the Father would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in your inner man, so that, here we go, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So without this quickening of the Spirit that God allows, You couldn't believe in God. You couldn't believe in Jesus Christ. You couldn't do what God wants you to do. You can't be what God wants you to be without him. And that's why Jesus said to his disciples, without me you can do what? Nothing. Because the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Amen? And these things he said, and he said, I'm not saying you'd ask me. You don't have to ask me anymore because the Father himself, what? Loves you. They understood because Jesus walked with them that Jesus loved them. But they didn't know about the Father because he's still in their heritage, in their thinking, and reading the Old Testament. They're afraid of God. They had a fear of God. They didn't, you know. But Jesus came to tell them God loves you. God cares about you. Amen? Amen? So we see here, you got a Father who not only did all these things for you in the past, but he's willing to do things for you today. If God be for us, who can be against us? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, so that you could be rooted and grounded in love, so that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, the depth, and the height. Because, see, in the flesh, you can't do that. You can't comprehend any of this stuff. It's in the Spirit. And to know the love of Christ, and that know means to experience the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And now unto God, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto him be glory in the church. And how do we give glory to God? Through Christ Jesus. Amen? He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. He is the only way to the Father. He's the only way that I can worship God. Jesus also told the woman at the well, you don't know what you're worshiping. You know, salvation is of the Jews. They that worship him, he they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, there's nothing impossible with God. And he wants to do exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think. So what he requires us, what he wants us to do, is it's exceeding abundantly what we can do. But God wants to do it. Okay, let's go to the first chapter of Ephesians. And then we'll go back to two. Okay. The first chapter in Ephesians. And I'm just picking stuff. I'm not, you know, this is not a thorough. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundations of the world. So God the Father chose you. God the Father chose me, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now that's just not a commandment for us to be holy. What he wants to do is to cause us to be it. To be it. What's the instruction God gives us? That we're to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Amen? Train up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So there is a responsibility of parents to train their children, is not? Isn't it right? Come on. Yes. So, you think God has any responsibility about his children? Huh? Yes. That's why whom he loves, he chastens, because he loves us. According as he has chosen us in before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. He made us meet. He made us accepted in the beloved. He made us meet. God did this. God did this. In whom we have redemption through his blood, through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom ye, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the start, it's the seal, it's, you know, unto the redemption of the purchased possession and the praise of his glory. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. And that's what Jesus said. You know, if you being evil now to give good gifts to your children, how much more will not your heavenly Father give the Spirit to them that ask him? Amen? So the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. See, all these things, you can't grasp them, you can't understand them, unless God does a work, unless he gives you the Spirit to understand this stuff. And so we're learning it, you know, as we walk closer and closer to him. We're learning these things. The Spirit is leading and guiding us into all truth, which he wrought in Christ. No. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he, God the Father, raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities, power, might, and dominion, every name that is named. God put him there. God put him there. Amen? And not only in this world, but also in that which, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the body of Jesus Christ, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you and me, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past we walked according to the course of this world, we were under, according to the prince of power of the air, we were under his dominion, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, it was working in us, amen? Among whom also we all had our conversation, our lives in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our mind, and were by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I just get a picture of some little ornery kid who won't behave, and his dad picks him up and says, "You're going to sit here till you learn." Of course, the kid doesn't sit there. He gets off again. He's putting them back. Till you learn, you've got to stay seated in Christ. Amen? We are his workmanship. We're not our own. We're his children, and he hath raised us up together. He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. How? It's kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift from God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. Now look, we are his workmanship. He created us in Christ Jesus unto good works. God did this. He created you in Christ Jesus. When I accepted Christ, and when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were born again, not of fleshly seed, but of heavenly seed. You were born of the Spirit of God. Amen? You're God's children. So we are, and then he doesn't stop there. He's correcting us. He's molding us. He's training us. We are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God has before ordained or prepared that that we should walk in them. And we was looking at works before. We see that he has already prepared these things that he has in our lives that we're supposed to do through Jesus Christ, through believing in God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because see, it's God that's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But you've got to believe in God. You've got to believe that he's for you and not against you. All the promises of God, the Father, all the promises are yea and amen. Where? In Jesus Christ. Amen? It's through Christ. We're believers in God. And there are other religions who believe in God, but it isn't the God. And the only way to God the Father is through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's the one that set it up. That's why the small g, God of this world, wants to destroy anything that has any resemblance to what God has done. Amen? So they don't want he or she. They want it. I can be whatever I want to be. No, you can't be. You're what God made. That's God's business. Amen? But they don't want to, you know, they don't want to acknowledge God. And so God has turned them over to a reprobate mind. But we have to remember that he is a compassionate God. Just like with Moses in the beginning. And we got to stop here. But Moses in the beginning, God was going to destroy them. I'll destroy them all and I'll make of you a great nation. Moses, no, you can't do that. Because if the Egyptians hear this, you know, they'll say, you're not able to do this. He has every right to destroy America. Amen? Is there any reason? I mean, is there any way outside of the grace of God that there is a reason why God should forgive us after he has blessed us and blessed us and blessed us and still we turn our back from him? And now it's you can't, you don't want it to say a prayer, don't want to have the scripture, don't want to hear anything about God. But it doesn't change the fact that he is God. Amen? And he rules in heaven, and he rules on this earth. And the nations are but a drop in a bucket. And if he wanted to, we could be gone tomorrow as a nation. Amen? We got a lot of enemies out there. But for the grace of God. But for the grace of God. So we can pray, God, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine upon us and we'll be saved. Amen? We're killing babies like thousands and millions. And they're worried about, am I a she or a he or an it? I mean, it's crazy stuff. Crazy. They turn the wisdom of the world upside down. God's doing it. And they can't see it. Because the God of this world blinded their eyes, but God gave them over to that. But God is able to bring them back. Amen? Amen? And so we need to pray for them. Just like Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. But we just don't want God to keep the nation. We want God to change it. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Amen? Cause your face to shine upon us and we'll be saved. If they get a glimpse of God, who he really is, Jesus said, when I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Because God made a way. And that way is Jesus Christ. And he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we that know God, privileged that we can go to God, in the name of Jesus Christ, with the righteousness that he bought for us, and plead God for this nation, that he would turn us again. There's been revivals before, and it happened in places that they never thought there would be a revival. They were bad places. And even in colleges in New England at that time, they had gotten rid of God, they had nothing to do with God, and all of a sudden, revival just broke out. Just broke out. It wasn't man, it was God. Just like is Elijah, Ahab, and the children of 400, you know, prophets. You know, God's done this thing that he would turn you around so that you would turn back to him. And fire come down and consume that sacrifice. Elijah didn't cause it to happen. God set it up. Amen? Because God loved the people. God loved the people of Nineveh. And Jonah didn't want to go. Yeah, in my flesh, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. But there are times of reality when I think, when I come to the conclusion, I don't deserve it. I really don't deserve it. I'll leave that for you to decide for yourself, not me. I don't get you in trouble by judging me. In 2 Corinthians 14:4, it says, 2 Corinthians 14:4, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Another one in 1 Corinthians 15:57, you know, we in Peter it says we are kept by the power of God. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. And how does he give us the victory? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Now in 2 Corinthians 1:21, now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 1:8, something like that. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. In 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4, Father of mercies and God of all comfort. And 2 Thessalonians 2, these are just sentences I wrote. 16:7, establish you in every good word and work. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17. These are promises that God has given to us, that through these promises we could partake of his divine nature. And through these promises he gives us the victory. But we got to believe in these promises. He gave us these promises so we could be everything that he called and chosen us to be. Nothing's impossible with God. Everything's impossible with me. And you. But you and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So Jesus told his disciples, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. For the Father himself loveth you. He loves you. He gave his Son for you. How much more will he not freely give you all things that pertain unto life and godliness? Father, we just thank you and praise you this morning. You truly are a good, good Father. And we pray, God, that you would continue to be long-suffering and merciful with us. God, open our understanding to understand these things more and more and more so these pieces come together in our lives. These exceeding great and precious promises that you've given us so that we could be partakers of your divine nature. We escape the corruption that is in this world through lust. You begun a good work in us, and you said you'd finish it. And we got to believe that. We got to put our faith and trust in you. No matter how we messed up, no matter how we go astray sometimes, you're always ready to forgive. You're ready to restore. But Lord, we want to be doing, we want to be about your business. We want to be doing your will.